This is Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur, Episode 1 for November 29th, 2005. Hello, I'm Leo Laporte, and we're so excited to add a new podcast to the Twit lineup, a Twit extension. Amber came up with that name. Amber MacArthur is my good friend and co-host on Call for Help and a web expert in her own right. She's a consultant to some of the biggest companies in the world on web design and user interface design, and she's been doing that for a lot longer than she's been doing TV. Amber, it's so good that I'm so excited we can do a podcast together.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's going to be great to be able to do this and talk about some of, you know, the hottest tools or apps that are online each week and get to talk to some of the people who are behind creating them, the designers, the developers, and maybe even a CEO or two.
And one of the things that we were talking before we started that we both like about this is there are no restrictions as to the format or the length. We're using Skype. Amber's in Toronto. I'm in Northern California. We're using Skype to record this, and we'll be able to Skype interviews with people all over the world. And we just don't have the same limitations that we find on TV.
Oh, definitely. I think that's what's going to be so much fun, is to be able to, again, just go, you know, go in depth on a lot of these different tools that are coming out online. So, you know, we're not limited to 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. We can talk for 20 minutes. We can, you know, really give people a sense of some of these, you know, tools or applications that are out there and tell them how to use them, why they should use them, and really get into, you know, the inspiration and the development of these tools.
Now, you picked a very auspicious day to begin the podcast.
I know. This is the day that Mozilla is releasing Firefox 1.5. So it's a big day for all the Mozilla people. For anyone who doesn't know what Firefox is, it's an excellent web browser. I've been using it for quite a long time. And we're going to have a chance to talk to some of the people behind it and some of the people who are working on this new release, which is out today.
Firefox is an alternative and safer browser for Windows, Macintosh, Linux. It comes with all Linux distributions. Windows users really should be using Firefox just because it's safer than Internet Explorer. And Mac users who have, I mean, we have a pretty good choice with Safari. I go back and forth. I love Safari, but I have to say Firefox has a lot to recommend it.
Yeah, I tend to, you know, I've used Safari, and I know a lot of people like Safari when they're using Macs, but I tend to use Firefox more, and I think it's because I'm always switching between using a Mac and using a PC, so it's nice to have one browser that works on both, and I just get familiar with it and comfortable with it, and that's what I like about it the best.
Well, and I know one thing that you really like about Firefox that's lacking in Safari is the extensions.
Oh, yes. I'm a fan of all these little mini extensions that you can add on to really customize Firefox. So if you're online as much as I am, you tend to want to, you know, make the surfing experience a little bit smoother and just be more efficient. And Firefox lets you do that with all these tiny little applications that you can add on, you know, to get anything from weather to, you know, previewing some of your tabs that are open in the browser and a bunch of other really, really helpful tools.
Including Abe Vigoda's status, whether he's alive or not. Which, if I were Abe Vigoda, I don't know if I'd be flattered or appalled.
It's got a little, yeah, that's an odd one.
It's got a little picture of his head, and I don't know. It's just a weird thing. But I guess it's true. If you get hooked on these extensions, you can't leave Firefox because you get dependent on them.
You get dependent on them. You get used to them. And then when you go to use another browser, they're not there anymore. And you realize, I think a lot of people don't realize the habits that you develop while you're surfing that you may not be aware of. But if you, you know, jump away from using a browser like Firefox and go back to trying to use Internet Explorer, you'll have some issues and some frustrations for sure.
We have on the line with us two people who are instrumental in making Firefox the success it is. In fact, we're very lucky to be able to get them online with us because it's launch day. They have a very, very busy schedule, so we're very grateful for them to them for joining us. Mike Bletzner is on the user interface team. He's the guy who does all the eye candy and makes it easy to use. And, of course, Mike Shaver, who is chief technology strategist at Mozilla.org. He's a founding Mozilla member of Mozilla.
And Mike Shaver, you've been with Mozilla for quite a long time now.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time at Netscape in 98 when they decided to try this crazy thing, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Would you introduce Mike Bletzner for us?
Absolutely. We were lucky enough to get Mike playing for our team in July of this year, and he's jumped right in, both feet and both hands, into the user experience of Firefox, of the website properties, of add-ons and updates and so forth. So he's been the guy charged with improving pretty much everything the user touches in our world.
He's the UI guy.
I know. The everything about the user guy, yeah.
Cool. And, yep. And Amber, I guess today's a big day for Firefox.
Yes, it is. Firefox, you guys are releasing 1.5 today, which is pretty exciting. We're pretty excited.
We're pretty tired, too, but we're pretty excited.
You guys have been working pretty hard on it.
Yeah, I think anytime you push out software of that sort of scope, and it's obviously the centerpiece of our project, you're going to be, you know, up late and working hard. And I know the other Mike has been burning the candle at least two, perhaps three ends to pull all the pieces of this together for us.
How long has it been since 1.0 came out?
It's been almost a year, actually. 1.0 came out on November 9th, I believe, 2004. So we're sort of celebrating the one-year anniversary.
Great.
How many downloads have you guys had in a year, do you think?
Obviously, the numbers change all the time, and because the software is, you know, free to redistribute to anybody, we get a pretty conservative number. But we're certainly north of 100 million now, and the numbers we've been tracking show a pretty consistent download rate across that year period. So it looks like that trend is still going strong, and we're seeing growth in other areas like market share and so forth that really validate that more people are joining the Firefox camp every day.
What are some of the features in 1.5 that you think people will be excited about?
So I think one of the things that a lot of people will be excited about, actually, is reordering tabs. We've seen a lot of people be really, really happy when they download the release candidates. They can now sort of open up a whole bunch of tabs and then rearrange them so that they're grouped the way they like. The other thing that people will probably not be outwardly happy about, but will end up getting a lot of satisfaction out of, is our new updating service. So instead of updates taking a whole bunch of time to download and being multiple megabytes, we've now got a smart update service where just a small patch that will improve your browser can get downloaded so that we can make sure that you're running with the latest and greatest software.
So I have already downloaded RC3 of 1.5. Does the smart update already work? In other words, when I want to go online now and get the final version, will it only make the changes that need to be made?
Yeah, and actually, if you're running RC, if you're one of the about a million beta testers who've helped us with the release candidates and giving us great feedback, you're actually already running Firefox 1.5.
Oh.
Release candidate 3 is exactly the same bits that are being released today as Firefox 1.5, so you won't see an update icon for some time. We're going to save our update bandwidth for people coming from earlier betas and from the Firefox 1 series. We really wanted to make sure that everything was exactly right as we got it out, so we used the release candidate 3 for that, and so that is the Firefox 1.5 browser, so you kind of got a sneak preview that way.
Sneak peek. I've been playing with it as well. I really, really like it. One thing I noticed, one of the features of 1.5 is the faster page loading. Just curious, how much faster is it?
It's hard to quantify some of that stuff. Obviously, it's going to depend on the site and your network connection and so forth, but it's certainly I think it's noticeable to everybody. It's probably the first thing they notice when they bring up Firefox 1.5. On many pages, it's as much as 20% to 30% faster in loading and scrolling, much faster in navigating forward and back for a lot of pages. It'll be virtually instant for most of the web now to go back to a page you've just seen, and that's the kind of sort of behind the scenes user improvement that we've really done a lot of work on in Firefox 1.5.
You're still using Gecko, or is it a different?
Yeah. Absolutely. The Gecko layout engine's been the foundation of all the Mozilla products since day zero, as it were. And we're continuing to invest in improving that. And, you know, the testing we've had over those 7 years and all the incredible development effort that's gone into it, we're continuing to use that and improve it every day.
So the speed improvements are just optimizations mostly?
Yeah, they're optimizations to the code that was there. They're some better approaches to handling some kinds of pages. In some cases, they're things we've learned about how people use the web and the way content has changed over the last 5 years we've been able to really take advantage of.
I have a quick question for Mike Elsner, because I know he works on the user experience side of things. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere that people should expect a much better user experience, and I know you've talked a little bit about the improved tabs, and I think that's you can reorder by dragging and dropping. Is that correct?
That is correct. There are a bunch of user experience improvements that went into this build. One was a reorganization of our preferences page. It's hopefully going to be a little easier for people to navigate through the relatively small number of preferences that we have in the browser to make sure that they're customizing it the way they want to. There's also some improvements in terms of dialogues and messages that we send back to the user, and also some error pages for when you're browsing on the web to try to make that a bit of a friendlier experience. So if you hit a server that's gone down or a dead link, we don't just leave you with a plain old 404 page. If we try to help you understand what happened and help you get around that problem.
So users can expect some kind of message or something when that happens.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And it appears in the browser, and there's actually a friendly try again button, as well as some troubleshooting tips. So, for example, when you get the server could not be reached, it'll ask you, have you made sure that your firewall is on or is letting the traffic through? Have you made sure that there's no typos in the address, that sort of thing?
It's interesting, because that's what Internet Explorer does and has done for some time. Do you guys get cross-pollinated? Do you actually pay any attention at all to what Microsoft's doing?
Yeah, I think we pay a lot. A lot of attention there.
I think every browser organization looks to the others, Opera and Apple and IE and ourselves. And you see things like tab browsing sort of move around between all the browsers, and you'll see improvements to web standards technology that's really driven by the content that's out there, which sort of has a circular relationship with the support in other browsers. But yeah, we certainly watch what IE does, and we know they're watching what we're doing. And I think that sort of that there's renewed competition in the browser space is great for the user, because they're going to get a lot more people working a lot harder to improve their web experience.
One thing you, Microsoft, Opera, the Conqueror folks just recently did is announced that you're going to support a new enhanced certificate standard. Can you talk a little bit about that? That's for security and to avoid phishing scams.
Yeah, phishing is obviously a huge problem on the web today. Anytime you've got a large amount of business and value being done in a place like the internet, you're going to have people trying to take advantage of that illegally. So all the browser manufacturers, the major browser manufacturers, and certificate authorities and people doing server technology have been spending time together on this anti-phishing working group and on some certificate improvement technology. There's a lot we're gonna see done in sort of the back end of how those certificates are handed out and which ones are labeled as being appropriate for use with financial transactions and so forth. But we've been very involved in that process with the other browser vendors, and that's an area where I don't think anybody's trying to seek a competitive advantage. We just all want to make the web safer for all of our users, and it's been great to be cooperating that way with everybody. And I think the users on the internet today and tomorrow will really benefit from that work as it starts to get deployed.
What about all those people who have used a lot of the Firefox extensions? How will those carry over to 1.5?
That's a really good question. And one thing that we're doing, I'll answer your question first, which is that we've been getting in touch with all of our extension providers and making sure that they know what changes they need to make in order to have their extensions updated to 1.5. And when you install 1.5, we'll actually check the addons.mozilla.org site for you to see if there are any compatibility updates for your extensions, then we'll install those. So we're going to try to carry over as many as possible. We've had an ongoing issue, which is whenever we release a point release of the browser, your extensions will break and you need to wait for the extension author to update them. What we're doing now is providing a framework by which extension authors can guarantee that for the 1.5 version, their extension can more or less be guaranteed to work. And what we're hoping this will do is allow us to continue to release point updates for security reasons, or if we end up finding a rendering bug and we need to fix that, we can push that out using this update service. It'll be a very small download. You'll barely even notice it, and it won't break your extensions as well.
I was very impressed. Mike Shaver told me that the entire UI is done in XML and JavaScript, as are the extensions. Because of you, or is that something you, when you came on board, that's what they were doing?
I can't even count the number of people who would stab me if I said that was because of me. I'm going to pass this back to Mike Shaver, but what I will say is that the framework you're talking about is the XML user interface language Zool and JavaScript, and it really goes on this idea of the web rendering platform is itself a platform for application building. So you can build any rich client experience you want using this lightweight XML interface language to basically tell the browser where you want to place your widgets. You use CSS to then style those widgets, and you use JavaScript to make the calls back to the actual code layer. And those JavaScript calls can actually be interpreted in JavaScript, or they can actually call down through COM pathways to more complex code. And a really great example of something that's running on this, it's been getting a lot of press recently as well, is the Songbird thing, which has been sort of making its way through the blogosphere.
That's really cool. I've seen Songbird.
What's that? Tell me about that. I haven't heard about that.
Songbird is a music player application in the same family as iTunes and Wimamp and so forth, and it's built on the same Zool and JavaScript technologies as Firefox. So they've taken sort of the the underlying parts of the app that render it and, you know, give you all your sort of application behavior. And they've built a music player out of that. They've added their own components in to actually drive the music playing. And they use the Zool and JavaScript environment to build their application language.
So do you see then, in a way, Firefox being an application platform more than a browser?
Absolutely. Now, we want to make sure that we focus our energies in Firefox on, you know, on the core browsing experience. We think that's still a very important part of how people use the internet, and as more and more people around the world get on the internet, it's only going to become more important. But another important aspect of people having sort of control over their web experience is not having them be limited by what we put together for it. And because of the breadth of our community, we're able to see these extensions come together, some of which are small, you know, little tiny status bars that, as I mentioned, a call for help, show you Abe Vigoda's current status, or much larger pieces like feed readers or even whole applications like Songbird. And in the same way that the web itself, right, with HTML and JavaScript and all the new great Ajax applications we're seeing, has really been shown to be a great platform for app development, we think that a lot of those same techniques can work on the desktop for building these apps. And it lets all these people who are building web pages today deliver these desktop applications without having to learn a whole new set of technologies. And they can go out and buy a JavaScript book off the shelf and get started right away.
I know there's also a few new extensions that have come out already for 1.5. One of them, I think, is Tab Preview, which is a neat little extension. But do you expect, you know, there to be a whole new slew of extensions that come out specifically for 1.5?
I would definitely expect that. Yeah, we've been talking more and more with partners and companies that are doing cool things online, and we've been encouraging them and helping them get up and running with extensions. So today when we launch, we're also hoping to, around the same time, launch a new version of the addons.mozilla.org site. And right in there is going to be a set of what we call the recommended Mozilla extensions for Firefox 1.5. And we've got people like Delicious has submitted this really, really cool extension that helps you share your bookmarks through their service. PayPal has a send money to anyone button where you can basically very quickly click the button and send an e-money transfer. We've got the Answers.com extension, which is one of my personal favorites, which basically lets you alt or option on a Mac and then click any word in your browser. It doesn't have to be selected. And what it'll do is it will go and do a encyclopedia lookup through the Answers.com service. But it's pretty smart about it. It takes into account the context of how that word is being used. So it actually sends the word plus some context terms to make sure you actually get the word in the meaning of the sentence that it's in.
Wow, that's very cool. Oh.
And, of course, we've also got some community extensions, which we've made sure, or community-based extensions, which we've made sure are ready for 1.5. So things like the Sage RSS reader, StumbleUpon, which is a fun little way to find parts of the web that you might not have otherwise explored, and FoxyTunes, which is continually rated as one of the most popular extensions. And I think that's mostly for some Windows users who are used to browsing full screen and want to be able to control their media player in the background, and FoxyTunes just adds in all the controls for that right into your browser status bar.
I've played with FoxyTunes before, as well as StumbleUpon. StumbleUpon's also just it's a website where you can go and you can just randomly, you know, surf around and go to different websites. I think I reviewed it on Call for Help once. But you'll be able to do that straight from the Firefox browser.
Yeah. There's going to be Chrome buttons and tools so that you can just, you know, grab the next random site from StumbleUpon, or you can actually do the full experience where you log in and you build sort of a social network and preference and see the StumbleUpon sites that it thinks you'll like.
I think, you know, with the move towards web services, Firefox sounds like it's really positioning itself to be kind of the preferred tool for web services. Is that what you would like to be?
I think anything we can do to help the web grow in those areas is great, and we certainly spend a lot of time talking to people who are building those applications, people who are building tools for those applications, whether they're, you know, large companies that are building, you know, really robust enterprise scale stuff, or, you know, web developers that want some tools and extensions to give them a leg up and let them jump right in. We understand that it's very important for our users that our developers, you know, like the Firefox environment and are comfortable writing to it. And that's one of the reasons we've been so committed to web standards, is that it does really make the developer's life easier, and that in turn makes for some great user experiences. To that end, one of the things we launched this year, it's being shepherded and helped by another Canadian, Deb Richardson, is our Mozilla Developer Center at developer.mozilla.org, which has a wealth of information about building for the web, about building Firefox extensions. We're it's also sort of the host of our extension contest. And because we really wanted to make sure that the same global community that helps build Firefox could help build up that developer documentation, we're building on top of the Wikipedia MediaWiki platform. So we have thousands of people who come in to make small corrections or add new articles or give links to great examples. And that's the kind of thing we're trying to do to make sure that all of the web continue to grow. We don't know where the next Gmail is going to come from. It might be from a big company. It might be from a guy in his garage or sitting out on a boat somewhere. And we want to make sure they have all the tools they need to really keep driving the web forward.
What about for someone who's never heard of Firefox and is still using IE? Why would you suggest they download 1.5?
The best reason to do that, I guess, is that there's absolutely no risk to you. There's we're going to pull in all your settings and so forth, so this transition will be seamless. It's a 5 meg download. It's tiny, and we've really been focused a lot on the things that will make that initial user experience and the whole of the web work a little better for you. So if you're the kind of person that spends a lot of time on the web, I think you owe it to yourself to check it out. And if you've ever been frustrated by stuff on the web, pop-ups and the performance of other web browsers or difficulty managing a lot of windows and so forth, or just want a friendlier program, Firefox is certainly a great thing to check out. And as you say, there are a lot of people, unfortunately, poor souls who still haven't heard of Firefox and don't know what they're missing. And to that end, we've been really going on a pretty significant press push around 1.5. There's a lot of people out there who I think would really love it if they knew about it, and we're going to try and make sure that there's no excuse anymore for not giving it a shot.
Well, Mike Shaver, we thank you for beginning your marketing day, because I know this is a big day for you.
Yes, thank you.
With us at Inside the Net. And Mike Beltzner as well. Mike Shaver is the chief technology strategist and founding member of Mozilla way back in, 98?
98, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mike Beltzner, just a newbie, 6 months old with the Mozilla project, but responsible for the user experience and doing a great job. Thank you both, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
Oh, that was great. It was really nice to have Mike with us. I should mention that we pre-recorded this so that they would have early in the morning, so they'd have the rest of the day to do their normal press stuff. And that's why Amber sounds different, because we were on the phone when we did that.
I was on the phone, yes. We had to catch them. I think they were en route to the West Coast and getting ready for quite a big day.
It's great. I really appreciate their taking the time to join us on, the launch day is as big a day as you can get. So this is going to be the podcast. This is going to be the format. We're going to talk a little, you will talk a little bit about something cool, new on the web, and then we'll interview the people who are behind the scenes doing the work. Do you
exactly.
like the phrase Web 2.0? Is that a...
I think I've been thinking about that quite a bit. And the thing I worry about the phrase Web 2.0 is that it's more of a catchphrase, and it's something that may fade away, because it's really, it's kind of the same web. It's the internet. It's just about more powerful applications. So I don't think we need to call them Web 2.0 necessarily, but I think a lot of the applications and tools that we'll talk about on Inside the Net will be, specific to Web 2.0 applications. We just may not choose to call them that. And that may sound confusing, but
makes sense to me. Yeah.
But yeah, we want to be able to encompass, lots of different tools and applications out there that may not fit so narrowly within the Web 2.0 space.
It's certainly very hot right now. Everything's moving towards web-based, web services. In fact, I think really the future is not on the desktop. It's not in operating systems or applications. It's in web services.
I agree. That's one thing I'm really excited about, is to be able to, talk about one specific application that hopefully will, there's services out there, web services like BlinkSale, which is a great online invoicing application. And we'll be able to talk to some of the creators and really go deep on that and, talk about how it can help people, help them save time, and just, make their days more efficient. And you're right. A lot of these services are moving specifically onto the web, so you can access the applications from anywhere.
Right. Next week, we're going to talk to one of the creators of Flock, which is an alternative browser based on Firefox that has some really interesting social networking features built into it. I think you'll do a lot on social browsing too, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot about social browsing and a lot about, some of these integrated tools. So, for example, like you mentioned, we're going to be talking about Flock, which is able to incorporate services like Flickr and Delicious and give you all those tools kind of within the browser. So there'll be a lot of these applications that don't do just one thing. They tend to do, four or five or six or seven different things, and they're really kind of meshing a bunch of different applications that are on the web out there to create sort of a really powerful application on the web.
Well, we do hope you'll tune in every Tuesday for Inside the Net with Amber MacArthur. We thank the folks at AOL Radio who once again stepped up and really helped us out. They're providing not only the bandwidth for the podcast, but also broadcasting the show on their podcast channel, aolmusic.com, for more information. And Amber, I'm just thrilled that we're going to get to do this. I look forward to talking again next Tuesday.
I know. I can't wait.
For Amber MacArthur, I'm Leo Laporte. We'll see you next time on Inside the Net.